Good morning. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll jump in. God, we thank you so much for this morning. God, I do pray that you would satisfy us in your steadfast love this morning, that we might rejoice and be glad all the days of our life. Lord, your steadfast love is better than life. God, I pray that you would help us to focus our hearts upon you. Lord, as we learn, as we think about counseling, God, everything should drive us to you, to worship you, to be amazed at you. And so, Lord, that's ultimately what we want. As we think about just your commands in Scripture to be able to teach or to grow in our skills, God, ultimately to grow, Lord, we're going to grow if we love you, if we are just amazed and enamored and want to see the beauty of Christ. So, Lord, ultimately, I pray that it's what you'd help us with. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see wondrous things in your word. Lord, we want to be used by you to help other people. But first and foremost, Lord, we're not going to be of much use if we don't just love your word, love you, want to grow ourselves. So, Lord, we just pray that you would do that. Help us now. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I have not been in here this week, so I'll just give you a quick introduction, but I'm one of the pastors at Faith, so I've been here for about 10 years, did seminary at Faith, it was a great, great program, did the MDiv, would highly recommend it, and they hired me out of seminary to start our men's residential addiction program called Restoration, so that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years. So if you are ever working with people that are in addiction or whatever, and you're thinking about a program, you certainly can reach out to me or whatever, but that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years. Now, what we're going to look at this morning, as the title would suggest, I am really appealing to people to grow in their counseling skills, okay? And I'm hopefully going to make a compelling argument. Hopefully you're all here where it's like, yeah, I want to grow in it. But I'm going to try and give you some very specific things and really connect, hopefully, the Word of God in a way that would really excite you to press to grow, all right? So, here's the main passage, 2 Timothy 2, 24-26. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, correcting his opponents with gentleness, patiently enduring evil. Sorry, I got that one backwards, but God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. They may come to their senses, escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Right? Key phrase there that I'm getting, able to teach. Able to teach. The Lord's servant must be able to teach. I hope we all would say, man, I want to be the Lord's servant. This is not just counselors. This is not just pastors. If you want to be the Lord's servant, able to teach. Right? If you're a parent, I mean, you teach, hopefully. When you're thinking about how do I teach my child? How do I teach him this? How do I teach him that? How do I point him to Christ? Like, I mean, I hope when you're raising kids or if you are raising kids, you're just like, I'm thinking about that all the time, right? And you're trying to grow and think about, man, this child's different than that child. And as they grow older, like, how do you do this in a way that actually connects with them? Right? I don't control my child, I don't control anybody, but like to be able to teach, and what I see in this verse for sure is you go, the consequences are pretty, the stakes are pretty high, right? God uses this. He really uses this. So we need to be able to teach, and we won't talk a ton about all the different qualities in that, but you know, if you want to be kind to people, able to teach is part of the kindness. Right? If you don't teach people well at the right times, it's not very kind. Teaching takes time, right? You got to be patient. You got to be patient. And this one says patiently enduring what? Evil. It's part of what it means to be a teacher, right? As a parent, I hope we're patiently enduring evil from our children, right? Not getting angry and impatient and so forth. I mean, this just applies to so many things. And then you go, man, if you're going to be able to teach, you got to be able to correct. How do you know how to correct, when to correct? What's the most important thing? I mean, this is so significant. So I'm appealing. It's like, man, in counseling, you've got to be a good teacher, a good teacher. Okay? This will go so far in your evangelism. This will go so far in just relation. Like, being able to teach is so, so, so important. Okay? Now, who am I trying to reach with this? Definitely pastors and elders, right? I mean, like, you're called. If you're going to be a pastor and elder, you have to be able to teach. If you confuse people, no, that's not good. Like, you should be able to teach and explain things where people are like, that makes sense to me. That connects, right? And as a pastor or elder, hopefully you're like, I want to grow in my teaching, not I've arrived. Does that make sense? I mean, I had people that told me I was a decent teacher. I started Bible clubs and things in middle school and high school, and I'd have people that were like, you're a good teacher. But that was like as a high schooler. That's not good today, all right? Like, you want to grow, and I'm hoping in 30 or 40 years it'd be like you're a better teacher than you were today. You want to grow. I'm also obviously trying to reach counselors, mentors, right? So people that have more formal, just one-on-one kind of discipleship, okay? Definitely want people to be good teachers in that regard. Then, of course, is the passage we're looking at, all servants of the Lord, right? This is not just a call to certain people. All servants of the Lord, you are a teacher all the time. Right? And the question is, are you a good teacher or a bad teacher? Are you a teacher that points people to Jesus in everything that you say and do? I don't care whether you're an engineer or a doctor or you teach at a public school. I mean, I don't care what you are. Like, you're teaching, right? And we teach all the time, okay? So we want people, everybody, to actually be a good servant of the Lord. This passage says, if in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver for honorable use, but also vessels of wood and clay for dishonorable use. Therefore, if you cleanse yourself from what's dishonorable, you can be a vessel for honorable use. That sounds good, right? Set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Right? I hope we're like, I want that. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell, how? Richly. It's got to be in you, richly, not loosely, not shallowly, richly in you. Then, what's going to be the overflow if it dwells richly within you? Teaching, admonishing one another, how? All wisdom. Oh, we're going to see some passages where it's like, how do you get that? Right? There's smart people that are like, you just bring up the wrong thing at the wrong time. Foolish. Right? I mean, you could have a great message to the wrong audience. Foolish. Right? Wisdom is so important in this. Now, why? Why is competency and skill in teaching important in the counseling room? Like, why does this matter, right? We all say, and I do believe, like, who's the most important person in the counseling room? The Lord is. So why do I have to be competent? God just wants me there, right? He just wants someone moving. He'll steer someone around, right? Like, I mean, we've all heard that kind of stuff, and it's true. Dependence on God, yes. But, like, do not throw off the competency thing. Don't do it, okay? I mean, there's lots of people I think are deconstructing their faith because they were taught shallowly. They're asking questions later in life going, wow, well, what I was taught doesn't match with that. Man, competency, it does matter. God uses it, he uses it. I mean, there was a guy that, a pastor that deconstructed his faith in town here, and I can't remember what the question was that he asked to his pastor of, like, why do we believe that the Bible is true or something like that? And, you know, the pastor, like, was like, I don't really know. You know, and you're just like, oh, good night. Like, I mean, that's a problem. It's a problem, right? There's not the competency there. Okay, now why? It is commanded by God. Okay, so we've already looked at 2 Timothy 2:24. The Lord's servant must